Okay, we are live.
Yeah, do announcements.
Let's make sure we're on. How will we know if we're on?
You log in.
I see two trailers.
Let's go to the Facebook, let's see what's happening.
Mountain Meadows is not live.
It shows it?
It's not connected.
Yep, you guys are live, you're on.
They're not live chats.
Right on it.
Right down the middle, it's like splitting the two.
It is. There you go.
That's your first one?
Yeah.
Okay.
How's that look?
Okay,
it's delayed.
It is.
What job did I get? Leave it there.
Yeah, there it is.
Better?
Yeah, that's
all right. Rock it out.
Okay. Well, welcome to the Danielson's living room for Mountain Meadows Christian Center Sunday service today. We are happy and blessed that we can do this, and I will open up in prayer. Lord, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to live feed a church service today, to have a worship service, and to have a sermon today, Lord. We praise you for everything you do for us, Lord, and we love you so much. Amen.
The earth will shine. of your grace. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout.
Stronger in the presence of my Savior.
Spirit, lead me, let my trust in the water. We walk upon the water, wherever you would draw me. Take me deeper, let my being never wander. My faith will be based on the presence of my Savior.
Everything exists to lift you high, so high.
angels and descending Son of God. If the rocks cry out in silence, so would I. The Son of all our praises still will shine. Sing again a 100 billion times. And as you see, hundred billion failures disappear. Lost a life, so I can't live. Let the pain behind you so alive. I can see the light in everything you've done. There's a bright design in the world that I've called love. You've got every soul surrender, so all alive. I can see the heart in millions of ways. And the precious time the child you drive through this day. Gave the light to love and soul alive. Would it get 100 billion? The pressure could amount to your desire. The one you never leave someone.
So, I'm actually going to steal American Hat because my eyes just aren't that great. All right, guys. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So, Mike went up to the church this morning and checked it out, and it was a slushy mess up there. So after we talked about it, we said, you know what, it's probably going to be better to exercise the use of the technology that we have and go virtual today. And praise the Lord that we have these options, and he's blessed us with the technology to do so. So let's go ahead and open in prayer, and then we'll jump on into today's message. There's a lot. I'm excited about it. I'm excited for what's coming up. You know, if you get bored of me and you're tired of hearing me, don't worry. There's going to be some other people here talking, and you're not going to want to miss what they have to say as well. So try to hang in there all the way to the end. God, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that, God, you are sovereign over everything and every circumstance. And we know, Lord, that, God, this was no surprise to you, this crazy storm. This wet, messy storm, Lord, that is blessing us with water that we so desperately need, Lord, but making road conditions somewhat challenging this morning. God, I just pray that your word would go forth, God, through this online media that we have the ability to transmit in, God, and that your name would be praised. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. So last year, it's fun because typically I get to preach to y'all on the first Sunday of each month, which just so happens to line up with the first Sunday of every new year. So I get pretty excited around this time because I get to bring in a message for you guys, really kind of setting off, kicking off the new year, this being 2021. I know A lot of people were super excited to see 2020 come to a close and an end for obvious reasons with COVID and whatnot. But one of the fun things that we did on New Year's Eve with some of the youth here was that we talked about, you know, as bad as 2020 was, can we look at the glass half full and pick out those blessings, pick out those things where we saw God moving and at work in 2020 and try to understand his heart and his ways of what his design and purpose was. So it really was kind of a cool exercise. One thing that's been really cool listening over the last couple weeks, Jeff, he said it when he preached, and then Mike, he reiterated it again last week, and I'm going to reiterate it again this week, and we'll see where this goes. This may be something common that God is putting on all of our hearts to really speak to the church as we enter into this new year. And I titled this message today, A Foundation for Growth in 2021. Foundations for Growth in 2021. We're going to be all over the scriptures like is normal. So if you have your Bibles, get those fingers ready, because we'll be flipping back and forth. But I want to start with this verse in Ephesians 4, verse 15 and 16. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So you can see from that scripture in Ephesians, you have growth being an integral part of the church as a whole and the individual members of that church, because as each individual member is growing and contributing to the church body, so it is affecting the health of the church and growing the whole church towards one common unified goal, and that is towards Christ. So I got to start, you know, why growth? Why would we want to grow? What is the purpose of it? Why grow? And I'm not talking, when I talk about word growth, I got to be careful, because in the generation we live in, growth is often associated with your church, you know, running out of seating, having to split services, building projects galore, and really the outward physical, worldly standards of what growth is. But that's not really what God talks about when God talks about growth in the life of a believer. Growth oftentimes, and I've said this before, has its beginning in rooting down. Growth, before you grow up, you grow down and you root down so that you are strong and stable and ready to withstand the storms that are going to come as you grow. And so forth. And I've attributed this, I think, last year in one of the messages to a tree and how those roots grow down and grow out, you know, and it's tall. And I hit Mike up and I'm going to do it again, but it almost, I think it's the statistic is as tall as a tree is, the roots are at least that tall as well. You see a 200-foot tree, your roots are going at least 200 feet down and out to support that canopy and that tree. So likewise, that needs to be the life of the believer. So why then? Why grow in this manner? And firstly, I say it's because it's commanded. You know, God didn't mince words. God didn't leave a suggestion out there. God said, you will grow. It's an obligation. 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 14. 2 Peter 3:14. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures, to their own destruction. You, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness, but grow. grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. So you look at that one scripture. What was that? Four verses. How many imperative words did you? In which the Son said to them, therefore, beloved, know this beforehand. Guard, don't be carried away. And then finally, grow. These are all imperatives and instructive words that God commands us. He commands you to grow, and for good reason. And that brings me to the next point of why growth. Paul alluded it, or it was alluded to here, Peter alluded it to here in 2 Peter, when he said, regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. And the reason being that your salvation itself depends on you growing. Your salvation, your steadfastness, your perseverance, as Peter said, depends on you continuing to grow. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 7. It's one of my favorite chapters. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 17. So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire, so then you will know them by their fruits. So if you're a tree and you're not producing that fruit, you're not growing, Jesus says you're a tree that's going to be cut down and thrown into the fire. And he clarifies this, because you guys might say, as you're listening online here to me, well, that's not talking about the Christian that's not growing. Well, think about it. If you are a Christian, you will be in growth. You will be producing fruit. That's what Jesus is saying. If you are in him, if you are abiding in him, fruit is being produced. It's just a matter of fact. You have an apple tree. Guess what happens when the harvest comes? Apples are there. It grows apples. Jesus continued in Matthew 7, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And we've talked about that so many times, the difference between stumbling in sin versus being someone who makes a practice of walking in lawlessness, and what that looks like. And Jesus here is attributing that to not only someone that is condemned to hell, but a tree that is not producing good fruit, which in turn means this tree is not growing, which in turn means that this tree is going to be cut down as a result of its lack of growth. There's many, many occasions in Scripture where growth is attributed to salvation, and the two are tied together, and the lack of growth is condemned by our Lord. And a third reason why grow, and that is that blessing follows it. Blessing. And I know that, you know, most of us, we don't really care to constantly hear about the consequences. It's more exciting to hear about the good things, the blessings that are going to come out of this obedience to growing in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to disappoint you all for a moment, because I'm not going to talk about the blessings yet, but we will before the end of today's message jump into the blessings. So just hang on there. A reason for growth is that there is real blessings that come from that growth. So then how do we grow? How do we grow as individuals and grow as a church? One of the messages I gave last year had its focal scripture in Exodus 33:13. So I'm going to have you guys go there. And this is one of those verses, Exodus 33:13, that I told all you guys, memorize it. Write it down everywhere. Even if you don't memorize it verbatim, memorize what it's talking about, what it means. And it was really kind of cool, because We were talking in one of our Bibles, was it our Revelation study, I think? Yeah, our Revelation study, I think it was, or it might have been the youth group this last week, and I brought this up, and it was that circular pattern of what it is to walk and grow with God. Exodus 33:13, "Now therefore I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways, that I may know you, so that I may find favor in your sight." And go back around. "If I found favor in your sight, let me know your ways, that I may know you, so that I may find favor in your sight. If I found favor in your sight, let me know your ways, that I may know you, so that I might find favor in your sight." It's a circle. It just keeps going and going and going. And this is a picture of what it is to walk with God and what it is to find favor with God and grow in God. And that's that circular pattern that I said needs to be the model for how we live our lives. So how do we do this? How is it that we get to know his ways? And it's real simple, but it starts off with reading his word. And that's what I'm going to put forward today kind of as a main premise for growth, as the first foundation for 2021, is for the church of God, for each individual believer to rededicate themselves to being students, men and women and teenagers and children that are dedicated to spending time in the word of God. Because it's in the word of God, not in the Sunday sermon. You know, the Sunday sermon, if you come to church to find out about God and hear about God just on Sundays, you are so missing out. The word of God is where it's all out. The word of God is where he reveals everything about himself, his character, his precepts, his favor, his plan for all of creation and for you as an individual person. So if you're not in it, then you're missing out and you're not getting to know God as best as you could be getting to know God. Which then if you take that up to Exodus 33, if you're not getting to know God's ways, how are you going to get to know God? And how are you going to find favor with God so that that circle of growth is going to continue in your life? We have to be reading his word. Psalm 119:105. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." We can go out here. It's one of the cool things about living up in Roby and Osprey and Idaho City and all in this Boise County is there's not a lot of city lights, right? You go outside on a night day and you can see on the other side of the mountain, you can see Boise glowing. But on our side back here, it's pretty dark. And sometimes it's so dark, especially if it's overcast, that you can barely see in front of you. It's like a thick darkness. But then you take that flashlight out and you shine that flashlight, and it just is like a beacon that goes forth. You know, your headlights. You know, Melissa, she's hilarious because she can't get enough light when she's driving that car. She wants me to mount a bunch of off-road lights on the roof now so that she can really light up that road when she's going down it. Because 21, you know, it can be a little bit scary, especially at night, and all the suicidal elk and deer that are just trying to end it all. So light is a cool thing. It's the same thing in your Christian walk. You need light. You need to see where you're going. If you don't see what's ahead, you're going to do what? You're going to either run into something, one of those suicidal elk, or you're going to run right off the road and wreck yourself, or maybe you're going to inch along barely seeing the road, and next thing you know, you're passing Stanley because you missed your turn because you didn't have your lights on. You didn't see where you were going, and it's that way in our Christian walk. We don't want to shipwreck our faith. We don't want to go off the path, as Matthew 7 talks about. It's a narrow path. It's not a wide path. There's not a lot of room to wiggle there. So how are we going to stay on it? Psalm 119:105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path." 1 Peter 2:2, New Testament, 1 Peter 2:2, "Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word." Why? "So that by it you may grow in respect to salvation." You may grow in respect to salvation. As believers, we need to yearn in the same way as a baby. Those of you that are parents that have had the, I want to say blessing, but I don't know, of that newborn baby that's either always hungry or always poopy, one or the other. You get your pick. They're just not normally content otherwise. At least that was my girl's situation. And they just want that milk. They want to eat. And when they're done eating, they're ready to sleep. And somewhere in that sleeping period, they're making some noises there. So it's a longing for a baby. It's a basic survival instinct in them to desire that milk, to be hungry. And it's the same thing for a Christian, a believer. We need to hunger for it. Melissa, I use her a lot because I live with her, so I know her. I love it because she will noticeably be disturbed if she does not get the opportunity in the middle of the day to sit down and spend time in the Word of God. She longs for that time. She desires that time in the Word of God. It's where she's ministered. That's her bread. That's her milk. That's her sustenance. And that needs to be the same for each and every one of us. And finally, reading His Word is not simply enough. We can all sit down with the Word of God and flip through and go, yep, I read a chapter today. I read a chapter every day. In fact, I got through the Bible in a year. How about you? Did you make it through in the Bible in a year? Yeah, we can do that. But then I can go, oh, you read a chapter. What did you read about yesterday?
I don't know.
Well, what did you read about today?
I don't know.
Did it stick, or were you just reading it? Reading it is really, there's a purpose in bulk reading, but then there's studying and understanding and knowing the Word. So I say, you don't just read it, you got to obey the Word. You have to respond to the Word of God. James chapter 1, verse 22. Mike talked on this 2 months ago, right? November? But prove yourselves doers of the Word, not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror, which clearly I did not do today. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in all that he does. It's not enough to just read it. It's not enough to just hear it on Sundays. It's understanding it. It's responding to it. It's obeying it and following after the Word of God. Let's take a lesson from Genesis. And I love it because I love sitting down with the boys and reading their Bibles with them. I should do it more. Melissa does it a lot of the times. But every single time I do it, it's exciting. It's seeing them understand it and open it up and unpack it. And as a matter of fact, it gives me actual resources for when I'm preaching. It just sticks in my mind. And this is one of the lessons that the boys learned in Genesis just this last week. Genesis chapter 4, verse 6. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it." And the lesson being, it's real simple. If you just do what is right, will not you be happy? Well, you'll be happy if you're doing what's right. If you go on and you ignore it and you do what's wrong and you walk in lawlessness and you do sin, what's going to happen for a kid? If you tell a kid, "Hey, if you keep doing wrong, what's going to happen? Daddy's going to be coming and knocking." You don't want that. No one wants daddy showing up upset because you've been doing wrong. It's the same thing. And what ended up happening with Cain? He refused to do what was right, and instead he went and he murdered his brother Abel in sin, and God cast him out, cast him away, because he refused to do what was right. Another example of this, and I really love this. It's a little long, but bear with me. Nehemiah, Turn your Bibles to Nehemiah. You may need to look in your index. I don't know how often you guys are in the Old Testament or not. I love the Old Testament. As you guys get to know me, you're going to know I love, love, love the Old Testament. Why? Because the New Testament's a lot of instruction from the apostles, the letters and stuff, instructions to the church. The Old Testament is you see God moving in history. It's historical. You see the accounts of what's going on, and you get the pulse in the heart of God here. So Nehemiah, chapter 8, verse 1, and this is taking place when Israel is returning from exile. They're returning to the land. Remember, the walls have been broken down. They have been led into captivity as a result of their sin, and now they're going back. This is during the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, the prophets. And Ezra here in chapter 8, verse 1 says, "And all the people gathered as one man at the square which was in front of the water gate, and they asked Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Then Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men, women, and all who could listen with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. He read from it before the square which was in front of the water gate from early morning until midday, in the presence of men and women, those who could understand, and all the people were attentive to the book of the law." Can you imagine that? Early morning to midday, just reading the word of God. And people aren't dozing off. People aren't, popping on their phones and doing whatever. They're attentive, it says. They're attentive to the law. Ezra the scribe stood at a wooden podium, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood, Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Maaseiah on his right hand, and Pedaiah, Mishael, Malkiha, Hashum, and Hashbadana, Zechariah, and Meshulam on his left hand. Those are fun. Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Wow. What does that say right there about the people's reverence for the word of God, the hunger for the word of God? It's opened, and the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, "Amen, amen," while lifting up their hands. Sounds like a charismatic congregation. Then they bowed low and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also, Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbathiah, Hodiah, Maaseiah, Kalita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peliah, the Levites, explained the law to the people while the people remained in their place. They read from the book, from the law of God, translating to give the sense so they understood the reading. This is where we get expository preaching from. Explaining, unpacking, opening the word of God to people. Then Nehemiah, they're both together. Isn't this cool? Ezra and Nehemiah right there. Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." And here's what I want you guys to really hone in on. "For all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the law." All the people were weeping when they heard the words of the law. "Then he said to them, 'Go, eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, send portions to him who has nothing prepared, share it. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength.'" Is that not a hunger for the word of God? Is that not holding the word of God in the proper perspective? That simply reading the word triggers a response of weeping and mourning as they understand what God's heart is and what God has said. Whether that is weeping for sorrow because they haven't walked in his ways, or that's weeping out of just the pure awe of seeing a holy God at work. And as that last part says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So there's happiness in the words of God. The joy of the Lord be your strength here. There's a danger that I want to touch on, and that is, it's not enough to be sorry. When you hear the word of God, when you hear that you've fallen short, that you fall on your face, when you know that you have, when your conscience is stricken, it's not enough to be sorry. Sorrow absent repentance is worthless. That's just feeling bad. It doesn't do anything though. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 8 tells us, for though I caused you sorrow by my letter, this is Paul, and I love this. I really love this about Paul, because Paul was a man who didn't mince words. Paul wasn't a soft speaker. Paul was, you know, we all have different personalities. I'll put it that way. And we all have different preaching styles, as you guys see on Sunday. Some are bam, 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 we're just hitting you. One, two punches. Some are, I'm going to love, you know, Talitha put it beautifully at youth group, you know, I'm going to love you to Jesus. You know, and they both have a purpose, and they both are equally as important here. And Paul here, this was what he did. He says, I caused you sorrow by my letter. And he goes, I don't regret it. I don't regret it. Though I did regret it, for I see that the letter caused you sorrow, though only for a little while. I felt bad that you felt bad, but I got over it. And now I rejoice. Not because you were made sorrowful, though, but that you were made sorrowful to the point of repentance. For you were made sorrowful according to the will of God, so that you might not suffer loss in anything through us. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation. But the sorrow of the world produces death. One is, I'm sorry. I feel really bad. I'm sorry. One is, oh my goodness, I'm sorry. I'm going to turn away. I'm not going to do that again. I'm going to walk in the ways of God. See the difference? So while as a minister you bring the truth, and sometimes it's hard to swallow and it's a hard truth to preach as well as to receive as the one being preached at, and sometimes the response to that is it can make you rile up, it can make you angry, it can hurt your feelings. It can bring sorrow. And that's not the intent per se to bring sorrow, unless that sorrow is a sorrow that says, I'm going to change. That sorrow brings you to repentance, and that repentance then leads you to salvation, to grow in your salvation. So I've been accused a lot of times of being a pretty harsh speaker at times, and I do apologize at times for that. But at the same time, if any of my words ever have brought anyone to the point of sorrow that they say, I need to change and turn to God and repent, then I rejoice. And I'm glad, because it's just what that person may have needed to hear. We've been studying Revelation on Tuesday nights now? Yeah, Tuesday nights. And there's a lesson that we've gone over the last couple weeks. And I'm going to read you two verses, and then I'll reveal the lesson here. Revelation 11, verse 13. In that hour, there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell. 7,000 people were killed in the earthquake, and the rest were terrified and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly. Same time frame, Revelation 9, 20. The rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, so as not to worship demons and the idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor their immorality, nor of their thefts. You see, these two events are contemporary events. They're happening at the same time. You have the city, a tenth of the city falling, 7,000 people dying, and them giving glory to God. But these same people that are giving the glory to God do not repent. They recognize God. They recognize this is an almighty act. And they give glory to God in that recognition that it's Him, but it's not enough to bring repentance to them. And so that sorrow is worthless. It does not lead to repentance. It only invites more wrath upon them. And finally, so we have read the word, respond to the word, and now we have remembering what God has done. Deuteronomy chapter 8. This is another chunky section, so bear with me. Deuteronomy chapter 8. All the commandments that I am commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply. Remember, we talked about blessing. We're going to get to that in a second. So key in on these blessings. That you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give your forefathers. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. That is the word of God. Your clothing did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. Thus you are to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you just as a man disciplines his son. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing forth in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land where you will eat food without scarcity, in which you will not lack anything, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. So when things have gone good, when the blessings are poured out, bless the Lord your God because he gave it to you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I'm commanding you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold multiply and all that you have multiplies, blessings, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought water for you out of the rock of flint. In the wilderness, he fed you manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good for you in the end. Otherwise, you may say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand made me this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. It shall come about, if you ever forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you today that you will surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so you shall perish because you would not listen to the voice of the Lord your God. Is it important to remember the Lord? Yes, it is. Remember what he's done. See his hand moving. It's not you. You're not a self-made man or woman. God is giving you the ability to make that which you have made. It all comes from God. Every good and perfect gift and blessing is from God. Deuteronomy 6, verse 3. O Israel, you should listen. Be careful to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. Teach them diligently to your sons. Talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. In other words, all the time. Bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontals on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Is the word of God important? Is God's commands, his precepts, the things that he's done, is it important to remember them to the point that they become our identity? It's on our doors. It's on our hearts. It's being taught to our kids. Why teach it to our kids? If we leave out a generation, what's going to happen? We're cheating them. Remember what God has done. And now we get to that blessing. Remember I said wait to the end and we'd have a blessing here. There is blessing that comes from growing in Jesus Christ. And we've seen it laced through all of these scriptures. Blessing after blessing here. But the ultimate focus when I say the word blessing is not on the earthly material thing. I'm not preaching you a prosperity gospel by any means. If you ever get that implication, run far away from me and then yell at me later. I will never preach a prosperity gospel. It is not of the word. The ultimate focus of any blessing, any prosperity, any gift, any promise in Scripture, the focus is always and will only always be eternal. It is always looking up. It's not looking down. Jesus does not command us to look down and have our eyes on the worldly circumstances. He wants our eyes fixed up on Him. The worldly circumstances might change. There may be blessings of the world that are poured out on you, but that isn't the blessing that He's necessarily talking about. He's talking about what's awaiting us, the heavenly, the eternal reward. In fact, as worldly blessings come, if they come, there's no guarantee they will. If you come to Jesus expecting a worldly blessing, you've come to the wrong thing. Look at the disciples. How many of them were worldly blessed? Not too many. They lost everything for the sake of the gospel. And all through time in history, people have lost for following after Jesus. So if anyone's saying, oh, you're going to get rich, dumb, and happy, run away. They're preaching to you a false doctrine. With material blessing, however, if God pours out material blessing on you, it's for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to once again give glory to Him. Take those blessings, and now you in fact have a responsibility. A greater charge has been placed upon you to be responsible with the blessings of this material, this world that He has given to you, to be used for Him, not for you. In fact, so much so, in last week, James 2, Mike talked about favoritism. Don't favor the rich person. In the eyes of God, rich and poor and everything in between, we're all the body of Christ and we're all one. It's not about the wealth. Jesus said it. It's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God than a camel to pass through the eye of a needle. With wealth comes responsibility and challenge. So before we ever get on our knees and pray, God, make me rich, be careful what you're asking for. Because God, make me rich also means, God, give me the heart to give it all away as you would lead me to do so, to bless your people, to bless and pursue your eternal blessings, the eternal goal of blessing. Psalm 119, verse 1. How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe His testimonies, who seek Him with all their heart. They also do no unrighteousness. They walk in His ways. You have ordained your precepts that we should keep them diligently. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep your statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed. When I look upon all your commandments, I shall give thanks to you with uprightness of heart. When I learn your righteous judgments, I shall keep your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man keep his way pure? Here's a question for the young men in our church. How can a young man in the world in 2021 keep his way pure? Purity. Here's the answer. By keeping his way according to your word. Walk in the word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I've treasured in my heart. Remember that? Like newborn babies yearn for it like milk. Your word I've treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. I want to know you. I want to know your ways so that I can know you, that I can find favor with you, that I might know your ways, that I can know you, so that I can find favor with you. Teach me your statutes. Matthew 5, verse 6, Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. That is a promise. You seek it, you pursue it, you hunger for it, you thirst it. God will satisfy you. Here's another incredible example from my reading with the boys. Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. That's an old daddy. Then Enoch walked with God 300 more years. And after he became the father of Methuselah, oh, God, 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah. So that's 365 years. And he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Here's the part. Enoch walked with God. And he was not. For God took him. Enoch walked with God. What was the result? God took him. Why? Because he walked with God. Hebrews 11 verse 5 clears it up if you doubted it. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. And he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. Growth. You want to grow like that? You want to grow to the point where God looks at you and goes, I am so pleased with you. You have walked with me. I'm taking you up. Bypass death. Up to heaven you go. That's incredible to me. And yet it continues, and without faith it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Seeking him. Did Enoch seek God? Yes. Did Enoch respond to God? Yes. Did Enoch remember God? Yes. Enoch walked with God, pleased God, God took him. Another important aspect, especially for the church, is a testimony. Testimonies of growing in Jesus Christ. Matthew 5:14 tells us, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. It's one of the blessings and the privileges of being a church, is we get to go and look in our church and go, how can we shine a light? If you go to the church website, at the very bottom, there's a section on there, giving glory to God, and there's this verse, you are the light of the world. And it's just a little section where we change it, not as much as I want to, because I'm in charge of it, so I'm lazy. But it's a section that is just simply testifying to what God is doing right here and right now in some of the lives of our own congregation, our own church within our own community. And it's really one of my favorite parts of the website, because it's like the Old Testament. It's learning and seeing God at work in his creation, in his people. So last year, January, exactly 1 year ago, Gabe was drug up front and he gave witness and he gave a testimony and he conveyed to us all a challenge that he was going to take upon himself. And we all stood up and we committed and I challenged you as a church to walk alongside this young man and pray for him and to challenge him throughout the year to see if he was staying on track and to be that support. And I don't know here or there who how successful we were as a church in doing that. But even if we haven't been, we need to be better. We need to come alongside not just these young men, Gabe, but everybody in our church, as they give testimony of what God is doing in their life, we as the body need to come alongside them and build them up. So I've asked Gabe, he's going to come back up here, and he's going to give us a little update. He's going to share his testimony once again, really in short, and kind of let us know how it's going and how it's he's perceiving 2021 and what we could do going forth as a church in his life in 2021. So told you it'd get better when he starts talking.
Last year I committed myself to, you know, live my life for the Lord and only for the Lord. And, you know, in 2020, it's been really interesting because my biggest struggle, I think, was going to school and like not, living some other life, not like my Christian life. And school got cut and we didn't go to school all from March. We went to March and then it stopped. So this year, it was a lot of personal, I guess, you know, growth and studying. A lot of it, I just studied as much as I could, and I didn't have that distraction of going to school and being exposed to all this stuff. So looking back on 2020 and how I did, I mean, I'm not the judge of what I do, but I think at the end I grew more. I was better off at the start of last year, at the start of this year, if that makes sense. I'm better off right now than what I was a year ago. And I think that is a success. And just if every year I grow more, and every year, like next year, kind of how Talitha put it, on a youth group, if you are bigger than what you were last year today, then you have had, you had a successful year. And I think that's a good mindset to be in. So for next year, if I'm bigger and I grew and I'm in a closer spot with God next year today than I was today, then that will be a success. So,
yeah. Yeah. So one of the things, stay up, you're not off the hook yet. So one of the things that when I was talking to Gabe over the last couple of weeks about doing this is he wasn't sure, you know, how he gauged himself when he was being the judge of himself and counting success on his commitment. And one of the things that it was cool to see and encourage him is we'll set goals. We'll set these challenges ahead of us, and they're honoring to God, they're pleasing to God, but God, through his divine will and his sovereignty, is going to navigate through this year and present opportunities and do what he's going to do through you. And maybe that won't necessarily be what you had in mind. And that's why it's important when Gabe's saying, I look at myself now versus I look at myself a year ago now, and I see my walk closer to God. I see I've grown, that growth. And he mentioned personal study, drawing nearer to God, seeking God. And all that growth, what it's going to do for him. Do you think if you guys ever do get back to school, Lord willing, do you think it's going to be something that's going to be useful, that personal growth in your impact on those around you?
Yes, because at the beginning of last year, we were obviously going to school, and I like pretty much just started my commitment, and it was difficult, you know, being right there in like the battlefield, just right at the get-go. And I think this year of just not going to school and growing with myself and just getting stronger, it will be much easier to go to school and to be in a public setting to, you know, be more outward and just to portray my life as a Christian. So, yeah.
Your one thing that I remember from last year that you said was, I want to be one Gabe. I'm tired of being two Gabes. I want to be one. I want to be the Gabe that serves and walks and pursues God with all my heart, not one foot in the world and one foot out. How would you say, you know, obviously knowing there's struggles and trials and there's stumblings that happen along the way, but how would you say overall you've been? I know how I feel you've been based on the outward guy looking in, but with you introspectively, do you feel like you've been consistent to that for the most part?
Yeah, pursuing the one Gabe, you know, the one, you know, person that I am, the Christian person that I am. Yeah. I've done it pretty okay.
Yeah. So that's reason to give glory to God right there. It's a change and it's a transformation, and it doesn't stop here either. You haven't achieved and you never will. Every year will be a repeat year. How am I getting even closer? How am I growing? So we as a church can continue to lift Gabe up and continue to pray for Gabe. And when you see Gabe, ask him, challenge him, because it's just going to help him.
Thanks, dude.
So also, I asked Noah to come up, and he's going to share. You guys haven't gotten to hear, I don't think, from Noah too much before. So it's his time. It's time for him to step up, and he's going to do so. And he shared with the youth group some of this testimony, and he's going to share with the whole church right now. And I'm excited. Go for it.
So this is just my testimony, I guess, to start off. I just grew up in the church every day and, every Sunday. And there wasn't really too much of a relationship there. There wasn't really too much of like a moment where I completely turned. I was just steadily growing and growing. And then, you know, each year I just keep on growing. And then, you know, a couple years ago, I decided to read my Bible once. And it was amazing. So I just kept doing it every year, every day for, a good while now. And I remember seeing I remember reading Matthew in order one time, and I learned a lot from that, especially Dad challenged us to write a chapter. I think it was a day, just one day, every day you have to write about a chapter. And I just went through Matthew and 1 Thessalonians and John and 2 John, and I just kept going and going, and that just helped me grow a lot. And when it came to March and school was cut off, I thought it was more of a challenge to stay keep growing, because at home there's not the distraction of school, but the distraction of your phone. And with everyone gone at school, people would be connecting at school, not just texting you all day long and trying to socialize through a phone. Yeah, really distracting, because it's not easy to do that and through a computer. And so for me, it was a little bit harder, but every morning I remember every morning I try to every morning I try to pray to put on the armor of God, and I know how much salvation I would really just visualize literally putting on a helmet and a chest plate and a belt and the shoes and all that. And so that's how I start my morning, is just by putting on the armor of God every morning, and that just helped me grow.
Awesome. So one of the cool things I really like about Noah's testimony here, and it was fun because I got to hear this on Tuesday when he shared with the youth group, is did you hear where a lot of it started? Well, A, it started at him, and this is an encouragement for the adults, a lot of the kids that talked, they were drugged to church, and they were forced to sit there through all of these sermons and all these Sunday school lessons, and a lot of them, they said it was a religion, they were doing it, they were going through the motions, but then they at some point, some trigger, there was a moment where they go, you know what, this is mine now. And it became real to him. And for Noah, what he mentioned today was, that point was, he opened up the Word of God. He opened up the Word and started studying the Word. And not just reading it, but really became a student of what God was saying, what God was doing, and what God was teaching him. And I've had the privilege over this last year being to spend a little bit of time with Noah. And he's amazing and fun, and it's awesome to just see him growing in the Word of God, growing in his knowledge, and I know God's going to do amazing things with Noah through his Word, and through Noah even teaching the Word of God, which has been really cool, because I've gotten to hear him and see him do that. The youth engage in a youth-led study every week, where they rotate around and get to teach each other. So it's cool, and it's cool exercise, and lets them experience that and really grow in that regard. One thing with Noah in particularly is when it comes to reaching the people around him. And one thing, Noah came to me because we do this Zoom study thing, and this is me sharing about Noah a little bit now, he came to me and goes, hey, Ken, could you make another Zoom group for me and the boys at my school where we could get on there and meet? And I want to really study the Word of God with these people at my school that I don't get to really do it any other way. So Noah has his Zoom group called Noah's Room. And I get to see, because it triggers on my phone whenever Noah activates his room, and I get to see all these people coming in, and they get to talk about, you know, cool hangout stuff, I'm sure, but at the same time, hopefully a little bit of wisdom, little nuggets of truth that Noah gets to share with them through the Word of God and his knowledge of the Word. So overall, I'd say that this is amazing growth that I'm seeing in Noah, and I'm seeing in Gabe, and it's exciting to be part of it. I know Mike is just tickled pink watching his sons growing up as warriors in the Word of God. So I commend them, and I want to commit them also to the church as a whole, like Gabe, to be praying for Noah, building him up, ask him what he's learning in the Word, encourage him as he reads the Word and he shares things with you. Have interest, take interest, pray for him if nothing else. Make that commitment for all the kids, the girls, the boys, all the youth at Mountain Meadow that are there and that aren't there yet. Pray for them that they might be growing, because this is the future and it's so important as we talk about today for their salvation. So awesome, Noah. Thank you so much for sharing. I had planned, we were going to be live at the church, and I had planned to open it up to the floor to get a couple adults to chime in and maybe share a couple words of testimony. I had a couple in mind, but the weather kind of put that kaputs, and I'm looking at the clock, and I'm running out of time, although you guys should be lucky because, hey, we didn't start at the early morning, and we're not going to midday right now. Otherwise, you'd probably be weeping, but that's not what we're doing here. So I'm going to conclude, and I urge you guys, go online, go on the website, mmcc4g, the number 4, jesus.org, and look at the very bottom, and you can read some of these testimonies. Right now, Haley, my daughter, is up there. It was Gabe prior to that, and we're going to start updating it, hopefully, more frequently. You know what helps me update it is you guys yelling at me to update it, or you guys sending me updated testimonies. You guys, I think, all have my email. If not, I can give it to you, or Talitha can. You send it to me, and then I can put it up there and share with the whole body through that means. Ultimately, we heard Gabe, how he's grown. We've heard Noah, how he's grown. We've heard Haley online, how she's growing. We're one body. And each member of the body has a different function, a different role, a different personality, a different heart. And yet we all need to be encouraging and building up the entire body. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, encourage one another, build up one another, just as you also are doing. Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens, thereby fulfill the law of Christ. I want to leave you guys with this one scripture, and it really goes to the heart of this foundation of growth, to get in the Word. Get in the Word. Make a commitment every day, not out of an obligation necessarily, but as the psalmist wrote, out of a pure desire to grow and walk with Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 2, verse 12. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, these are those that have grown up, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I have written to you, children, because you know the Father. I've written to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I've written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Knowing God, knowing him, knowing his Word, and being strong in his Word, this is a critical foundation for the Christian to grow. Without it, your chances, your hope of growing is zero. Without the Word of God, you will not grow. So if this is you, if you search your own heart, if you're someone that gets fed just from the Sunday sermon, make a commitment for 2021 to change that. Make a commitment to set aside that time with you and your Lord and grow. Get to know him. Know his ways so that you can know him, so that you can find favor with him. And I believe together, as we encourage one another in this, And as we grow together in this, that we are going to grow strong. Our canopy is going to grow wide, and we're going to be a church here on Roby Creek that just impacts our community for Christ like never before. We're going to become literally a light on a hill, a beacon of hope, not just for those that are within, but for those that are all around us as well. Let the testimonies that you've heard today of Noah and of Gabe be an encouragement and a challenge for you yourself to step out just as they are. 17 years old, 15 years old. Look at what they're doing in their lives as young men right now, strong and getting stronger in the Word of God, as 1 John told us. Let's grow together in Jesus Christ. Let's pray, and then the youth are going to come up here and close us out in a song. Isn't that cool also, just saying, you know, every week or every month that this youth group gets to lead our church using the gifts and talents that God has given them to bless us and bless Him by leading us? I get excited every month when they do this and they take full charge of worship. Yeah, we hear them every week because they're an integral part of the worship team, without which we would all fall apart and crumble and cry, which makes me worry about college, but we won't go there right now. These youth are strong. They're growing. It's great to see. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we grow by your word, that we not only are growing in your word, that we're growing through your word and through sharing it with one another. God, I pray, Lord, that you would just continue to bless our church, bless each member of our church, Lord, and that together, Lord, that we would grow in 2021. That 2021, we would find ourselves that much closer to you than we were in 2020. We love you and ask your blessing on the rest of this day and week and year. In your name, amen.
shall turn beneath all thy stone. The sand prepared to shine, but God will come to me.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.